Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, he is risen. He is risen indeed, and it is good to be with you today to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. You know that there's an estimated about 2.5 billion Christians who'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday today. I don't know about you, but that just staggers me that so many people will come together today and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that he rose from the dead and he gives us life today. It's the end of a long season today. It's the end of Lent, 40 days of fasting, of prayer. Maybe you've done Lent this year, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've just been observing this Holy Week since Palm Sunday last week. It's the end of also a period of time for the first church, which was a dark period between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It's the end of a significant season, and you can be forgiven for thinking that maybe Good Friday was the main day. Maybe it's the most important day. Maybe it's the day that we think is the most significant because it's the day that Jesus died. And the dying was the big bit, right? It was the big bit where he gave his life, where he died in our place when we deserve to die. And so you could be forgiven for thinking that it's all about that day, that that's what it's about. And Easter Sunday is just the fun day afterwards where we get the eggs, you know, the new life, the hollow eggs and empty tomb, you know, that whole thing that we have. But Easter Sunday is significant and it's important. It's as important as Good Friday. This is the last in our short Easter series called Waymaker. On Palm Sunday, we talked about how we have to actually prepare ourselves for the one who's coming to make a way. Just a few short days ago on Good Friday, we talked about that Jesus was the one who made a way on the cross, making a way to deliver us from our sin, from our past, from our brokenness. Today, we look forward. We look towards the future, Jesus who makes a way for us to move forward from our past, from everything that's gone before, into what he has for us. But how does he do that? Why would he do that? And why, as we look in the scriptures, do the first believers struggle to get their head around this? Why does the early church not understand that first resurrection day? This was confusing for them. So today we're going to look at what lessons we might learn from the resurrection of Jesus and what those first believers thought and understood so that we may grapple ourselves with this resurrection life that Jesus has given us. It was pretty dark days for those first believers on that first Easter Sunday morning. Everything had been lost. Everything seemed to be gone. Their hope in this revolutionary figure, this Jesus who was going to come and save everyone, this Messiah, had been dashed. He was the one who has come to set everyone free, they thought, from Roman rule, to overthrow those oppressors and restore Israel to the Jewish people. Just a century or so before Jesus' time, there'd been a revolution in Israel where the Maccabeans had risen up and overthrown the Roman rule, kicked them out. And for 7 short years, there was Israel run by the Jewish people. Temple worship restored, everything as it should be. God had done it before. There had been a glimmer of hope. Maybe this Jesus who taught with authority, who was a rabbi who didn't mind speaking out against the rulers and authorities, maybe this Jesus had come to fix everything up. Jesus, just a week before, had walked into the temple. He had overthrown tables. He had kicked the money lenders out. The palm fronds had been waved around that weren't just nice decorations. They were a symbol of revolution. Everything was about to happen, everyone thought. And then just a week later, he's dead. Nothing gets turned over. Everything falls apart. Jesus is tortured. is tried and found guilty and crucified, and hope seems lost. The revolution is cancelled. It's not going to be televised. Nothing is happening. On what should have been possibly the most joyous day of the Jewish calendar, Passover, the day where they celebrated their God, who was the delivering God, the saving God, who took them out of captivity, out of exile, and back into relationship with Him and into the promised land. On this day where God's salvation work had begun all those millennia earlier, the disciples of Jesus were huddled together, lost and alone, desperate and scared, while everyone else is celebrating God's salvation. And yet, and this is the beauty of how God works and the beauty of how the scriptures unpack the story of what happened on that first Easter Sunday, and yet, N.T. Wright, in his book, The Day the Revolution Began, puts it this way. By 6 p.m. on the evening of the first Good Friday, the world had changed. Something had happened as a result of which the world was now a different place. But that Friday night, that Saturday, even early on that Sunday morning, it didn't look any different. It didn't feel any different. The disciples were still lost and alone and unsure what to do, weeping and mourning their rabbi. But it wasn't until this third morning, this Easter Sunday morning, that the very first signs of the revolution began to stir. A revolution that had happened behind the scenes between heaven and earth, and was starting to become visible on the earth on this first Easter Sunday. Everything had changed. If you've got your Bible there, would you open up to John chapter 20? And John records the Easter Sunday morning in a really interesting way. We're going to start reading in verse 1. John 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. They find themselves with the evidence of Jesus' resurrection in front of them. And they think maybe the tomb's been robbed. Maybe he's been taken away. They didn't yet understand, as John writes, that he had to be raised from the dead according to the scripture. That this was the fulfillment of the promise of God. But the story continues in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Remember, the others have gone back. She stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Jesus is alive. They thought all hope was lost, but Mary is the first one to see him, to recognize him. the disciples heard her good news when she came to tell them, and they would spend the rest of their lives telling of the good news of Jesus and writing the Gospels, writing the letters that we have today. They would spend their lives talking of him. The reality is that everything had changed. Absolutely everything had changed. The key is, and why this Easter Sunday is so significant, is that his death doesn't make sense without his resurrection. His death doesn't make any sense. They're not meant to be separated. They're not meant to be pulled apart. If we lose one, it robs the other of meaning. Because without a death, we're still stuck in our brokenness and sin. But without a resurrection, we're still powerless to do anything about it. The beauty of what we see on that first Easter Sunday is that Jesus makes a way through both. He establishes a new reality in his death and resurrection. See, the most powerful thing I think that comes out of it that resonates with my heart, and as I read through these narratives, these stories, these records of what happened and what people tried to understand as the Holy Spirit spoke to them about it, what touches my heart is that death is no longer the end of the story. I don't know about you, but I grew up with a fear of death. I grew up worrying that, what would death be like? I'm scared of it. I'm scared of the pain. I'm scared of the unknown. But when I read what happened through Jesus and what Paul and others understood of what happened that day on that Easter Sunday, death was no longer the end of the story. Death isn't an off switch. Death isn't the end and we go into an unknown void. On that first Easter Sunday, death no longer meant defeat. Resurrection had happened. Resurrection vindicated the words that Jesus had spoken. It proved that God was faithful to his promises. In accordance with the scriptures, Jesus rose again. It has to make a difference. It makes all the difference if we understand that Jesus rose again. Otherwise, what's Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 15? He writes this, "I tell you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, says Paul, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable and we shall be changed. Our mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Our labor is not in vain when Jesus has risen from the dead. Death is the domain of sin and brokenness, and Jesus has defeated that on the cross. We no longer have to worry that what we do is pointless, because when we are in Christ, the work and the life that he gives us is valuable and has meaning. Jesus' work on the cross overcame death, and our faith, as we agree with him that he is really who he said he was, changes us, both now in this life and forever, forevermore. God invites us to know that we now live a life where the barriers of death and the fear of living apart from life are gone. There's no fear in death anymore because he invites us to life. And as he rose from the grave, he showed us that it is possible. As Paul wrote, it only can happen for us because it happened for him. Because he was raised in an imperishable body, one day we too will be raised in an imperishable body. But what I find really powerful, what I find really probably most encouraging and maybe convicting in my life, is that when Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit at the word of God the Father, it proved everything that he said to be right. It proved absolutely everything that he said to be right. What that means is that when he came, like Philippians 2 tells us, that he humbled himself and came in human form to show us what it looked like to be a human living fully obedient to the Father, listening and empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking out the reality of what it is to be one in God's kingdom. When he came and showed us what it looked like, his death and his resurrection told us that he was true, that he was telling the truth, and that the model he showed us of how to live is the model that we can adopt. His resurrection shows me that I can live the life that he lived, obedient to the Father, yielded. The resurrection proves that God has made a way for us to participate in his kingdom work, a God-empowered human life. And because of what Jesus did, as we see just a few weeks later in the story, Jesus' death and resurrection and then ascension opens the way for the Holy Spirit to come so that we can all live the way he lived, obediently following the Father, hearing every word, doing everything the Father asked us to do. Because on that weekend, between that Good Friday and that Resurrection Sunday, a power encounter happened behind the scenes that we didn't see. The dark power of death bowed its knee to the name of Jesus Christ because of the power of God. It bowed its knee on that day, and knowing full well that one day the sword would be at its neck and Jesus would conquer death for all eternity. So everything is different because of Easter Sunday. Death is dethroned, a way to break our bonds has been made, but what does that really mean for you and me? N.T. Wright, again in that same book, said, "The great jailer has been overpowered. Now someone had to go and unlock the prison doors." Jesus came that we would have abundant life. He says in John 10:10, "I come that you would have abundant life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's desire for us as his children, as his family, is that our life will be lived to the full. Our life will be fully lived and experienced. No fear of anything, not even the end, but a life fully and abundantly lived, rejoicing in our Father's goodness the whole way through." That's the power of the resurrection. That's the power of Jesus unlocking prison doors. He invites each one of us to step out of our prison door, out of our jail cell, out of our captivity, because Jesus died and broke the power of sin and rose to prove that that was true. He's unlocked the jail door. The question is this Easter Sunday, are you still in your jail cell? Or have you stepped out of the prison that sin and death has kept you captive in? Jesus has made a way. He's made the opportunity for us to step into freedom. All we need to do is accept his offer of salvation. There's this beautiful word in scripture that describes all of this, and it's this Greek word sozo. And it's translated variously right through the New Testament to mean both salvation, that God sets us free, and that Jesus would heal people's bodies, that the New Testament believers would heal physical bodies, and that people would be delivered from spiritual and emotional bondage. Sozo, what God came to do through Christ, saves us, heals us, delivers us. This is what Resurrection Sunday means. God is breaking into the human condition and restoring it for him. What's confronting, and I think we can fall for maybe this misconception in a time such as this, is that the power of Resurrection Sunday isn't going to heaven when you die. The whole idea that Jesus came so that I could go to heaven when I die came probably, we know from history, from a time quite similar to this, when plague was sweeping the world and people were dying young and dying in huge numbers, and people couldn't reconcile what said in the scriptures and what was happening on earth. And so salvation had to mean going to heaven when I die because everyone was dying. But the reality of that first Easter was not a ticket to heaven so that we can check out when we need to. The reality of that first Easter was Jesus died so the kingdom of death would be beaten. it would be defeated. And the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, could break into our human lives. That those lost in darkness would find light again. The benefit, the fringe benefit, is that you get to spend eternity in relationship with Jesus. The reality is eternity doesn't start on the other side of death. It starts when you say yes. It actually starts when you say no as well. And the reality today is that he's asking, will you follow me? Will you believe me? It's important at this time that we ask this question of ourselves and we know where we stand. The beauty of the resurrection, though, is that he has made a way for us to be able to respond. If you've got your Bible still, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul writes this, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, the ones you once walked in. You are following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. These sons among whom we all lived once in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God," and this is key, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace that you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works or your own efforts, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's a lot going on in what Paul just said, but the key that I want you to take away is that while we were dead and broken, while we were far off from God, living in the land of sin and death, he loved us enough to die, to go through defeating the power of death and the enemy, and rose again so that we didn't have to be God for ourselves, so that we didn't have to find a way to heal ourselves, to free ourselves, to sort ourselves out. We're not good at it. We're not good at it. And he made a way that we could. So here's where it intersects with our lives. Jesus died and rose again, proving that he is God and King and Savior. He invites us to be a part of his kingdom. Now, that's not just like, great, I'm in. The reality of being a part of his kingdom is it comes with benefits. When we are a subject of the king, we live under the king's rule and we reap the benefits of being a part of that kingdom. If we've seen on the news a lot just recently that there's a lot of people who the government in Australia is helping out because they're Australian citizens, and there's a bunch of people who are not Australian citizens who are currently stuck here, but they're not part of this kingdom. They're not subject to the king, our prime minister, whatever we want to call it. Got a little bit awkward. Don't stretch the metaphor too far. But the reality is they don't access the benefits because they're not part of that kingdom. We are part of the kingdom, and we come into a kingdom that gives us benefits. An amazing part of the kingdom of God, separate to the kingdoms of this earth, is that as subjects of this good king, we're allowed to invite others into his kingdom. We do it by declaring and demonstrating those benefits. And God is such a good king. He wants everyone who's willing to come and be a part of his kingdom. So the benefits we have as a part of his kingdom, well, I've said it already, we have abundant life here, now, and into eternity. Psalm 103 talks directly about these benefits, that he forgives all of our sins, that he heals all of our diseases, that he gets rid of all of that brokenness that sin has introduced to the world. Paul says it this way, that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, we are restored to right standing with God as part of this kingdom. We're no longer at odds with him. We're no longer at war with God. The peace we experience as a benefit of his kingdom is that he makes everything as it should be. Chaos is defeated when peace breaks in. and he gives us joy in his presence, the hopeful expectation of good. We don't go through this world afraid and fearful that we'll be damaged and broken by the things that are going around us, because no matter what happens, as Paul writes, whether he slay me or not, that's Job, whether he slays me or not, I'll praise him. Paul writes that I can be shipwrecked, I can stand before kings, it doesn't matter what happens because my confidence is in Christ. Paul makes this comment in Romans 8. You listening, you reading today, you joining us from wherever you're sitting, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the reality of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus, that his Spirit dwells in us and it gives life to our mortal bodies, to our human flesh. He brings life to us. He didn't just design us to be a spirit removed from him. Resurrection Sunday shows us that the divine and the eternal and the human meet, and he calls us to be a part of his kingdom. Do you want to be a part of his kingdom today? Do you want to submit yourself to his rule? When we say yes to him and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and live in our lives, it brings life to our death. It brings freedom to our captivity. It brings us the benefits of the resurrection life that he freely offers us. It requires us to give up being our own king. It requires us to give up our right to choose our own way. It requires us to give up our right to be God for ourselves. But the good news is that he's a better God than we could ever be. And he sees the end from the beginning. He sees the inside from the out and the outside from the in. He understands it all better than us, and he knows what's happening. And so in giving up our own freedom, he gives us freedom in return. Freedom to live as he created us to be. Freedom to surrender to him so that he can tell us how to live well, show us how to live well, and pour his benefits into our lives. We're invited to exchange our broken and selfish rule for that of God's good rule, his reign over our lives with peace and joy and freedom and salvation. So today, wherever you are, if you're joining us and you're hearing these words, and you don't yet know Jesus, he's inviting you today on this Resurrection Sunday, on the day that he stepped out of the grave and said, I am alive, and I'm inviting you to be alive with me. On this day, he invites you to be a part of his kingdom. And it's a simple process. It's acknowledging what I've just said, that you can't be king, you can't be God for yourself. And it's asking him to be God and to be God over your life. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now, and the words will be on the screen as I pray. And would you pray these words with me out loud where you are right now? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, on this Resurrection Sunday, I recognize that I'm unable to provide myself with salvation. I'm unable to provide myself with healing, with freedom, or eternal relationship with you that overcomes the finality of death. I choose now to relinquish my right to be my own king, and I choose to submit myself to you as king. Jesus, I choose to give you my life, and I choose to receive your free gift of salvation. I choose you as my king, and I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. I ask that you forgive me of my sin and cleanse my life from my brokenness. I choose to receive you and your Holy Spirit and the love of Father God right now. Fill my life and empower me to live out your resurrection life in my own. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that with me today, That's amazing. That is awesome. And it says that all of heaven celebrates, all of God's kingdom rejoices when one person who is lost in darkness finds Jesus and his kingdom of light. If that was you, then right now on your screen where you're watching this, you might be able to respond and say, yes, I just made that decision. If you can't see that right now, you can reach out to us at River Life Church. We have a website, riverlifechurch.org.au. You can email us and contact us, and we want to help connect you and walk with you as you start this journey with Jesus on this Resurrection Sunday. Today is a good news day because he has risen, and it makes all the difference for you and me. Make sure you take the opportunity to reach out, that this life that he has set us free for is a life that we live together in community. What's also powerful today is that, like I read earlier, when the Spirit of God dwells in us, he brings life to us, both for eternity, but also in the here and now. God wants to bring healing to our lives today. One of the things we've found over the years is that we love on a Resurrection Sunday to pray for healing. God loves to bring healing to people's lives, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We know that he loves to break in, that we've seen miracles on Resurrection Sunday because the Holy Spirit loves to show the reality of Jesus conquering sin and death. And we're not going to let anything stop us from going after these things on a Resurrection Sunday. We believe that healing can happen anywhere, anytime, because God is with us. So today we're going to pray for healing, and I've had a whole bunch of people of our pastoral team and some of our intercessors praying and asking God, what is it you want to bring healing to today? What is it you want to set people free from today? My phone's been buzzing this entire service with words of knowledge coming in, and I just want to share some of them now. And what I want you to do as you hear these conditions read out, if that's you, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that Jesus has highlighted what's going on in your life today by the Holy Spirit in order that you might find freedom. We're not just making things up. We've asked God, God, what is it you want to bring healing to today? And the reality is, what if Jesus stepped into your lounge room, into that space where you're watching this right now? What if Jesus showed up and said, I want to bring healing to your life? It's the same as that. It's him speaking to his sons and daughters and saying, this is the healing I want to bring into people's lives. So today, as I read these out, would you let faith just start to stir? If one of these things is in your life, is what you're currently suffering in, know that God's highlighting his resurrection life for you today. So here's some of the things. If you have pain in your left ear, in your inner left ear particularly, if you have chest pain or pressure in your chest, if you have lower back pain, and the person who was praying saw that it looked like it was twisted, so that might mean scoliosis, it might just mean lower back pain. If you have any stomach or digestion problems or irritable bowel, if you have problems in your right shoulder and the rotator cuff, maybe you have clicking in the jaw. Another one said that people suffering from vertigo, also in their ear problems. So that's two. If you have ear problems, I feel like the Lord wants to do something in your life today. That's awesome. If you need a heart surgery or heart stent put in, or any blockages in your heart that requires bypass surgery, we want to pray for that today. If you're suffering from Crohn's disease and any chronic intestinal and abdominal issues, we want to pray for you today. Also, God's interested in more than just our physical bodies. He's interested in every part of us. He cares about our physical bodies. He cares about our emotional state. He cares about our spiritual state. Jesus didn't come just to save our souls. He came sozo, remember? Saving us, healing us, delivering us. So maybe today you're in a relationship that's full of frustration and division. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a family relationship that you need God to do some healing in. Maybe today you're suffering under a diagnosis of bipolar or schizophrenia or some kind of mental illness associated with that. Maybe today you are in desperate need of a breakthrough in your circumstances. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's emotional. Maybe you're just in a place where depression and anxiety is attacking you. Maybe you're just in a place of darkness and you need light in that darkness. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for those things. I want to pray really specifically for those things. Now, I've read out a whole list, but God knows exactly what it is you need. He knows the healing and the freedom that you are needing. And His kingdom holds it for us. So what I want you to do where you are right now, and don't worry about what's going on around you, it's probably easier if you're at home. I want you to put a hand on that part of your body that needs physical healing right now. And if it's emotional healing or mental health that you need healing in, would you put your hand maybe on your heart or on your head just to signify as an act of faith that, God, I want you to touch the part of me that I'm putting my hand on. Would you take a moment to do that? And maybe if there's family members with you in that house and they want to be involved in this and they want to worship Jesus and see Him, His kingdom break in, then maybe they can come and lay a hand where appropriate as well. But I'm going to ask God to just invade your space, to step into your situation, to step into where you are right now. I'm going to ask Him to bring healing to that part of you that needs healing. So I'm going to pray. And would you just agree with me where you are? I'm going to reach out my hand in faith that He's going to touch you where you are and where your hand is. So let's pray. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, resurrected one who holds the power of life and death in His hands. We thank You that You came to set our hearts free, our spirits and our souls free and our bodies free. And I ask on this Easter resurrection day, that for every person in His healing right now who's watching and hearing this, would You come and would You bring healing to them right now? To every broken body in Jesus' name, I ask that You would bring healing, Holy Spirit, that You would restore broken parts of bodies, You would heal parts that were not formed properly in the womb, that, God, You would restore from brokenness to full healing. In Jesus' name, I ask that that will come right now upon everybody. God, for those who are currently sitting in a space of mental anguish, an emotional turmoil, God, would You calm, would You bring peace? Would You bring peace that brings shalom, the as it should be nature of the kingdom of God? Would You bring it right now? And would You bring healing to hearts and to minds right now, Jesus? God, I'm bold enough even to ask that You would restore brain chemistry and neural pathways even right now, God. That You would rewire brains that have gotten to the habit of wrong thinking and bad thinking and broken thinking. God, where there's chemical imbalances that are being fostered by emotional dysfunction, God, would You come, would You break in right now? And I declare Your healing power over them. God, in the same way I have faith that You set hearts free, that You bring people into eternal relationship with You, I know You want to bring freedom to bodies right now. So would You come, Holy Spirit, we bless Your name. We ask You to touch everyone who's in need of healing and freedom today. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you right now just to check that out, to try it out. And if you're watching this live today, would you... If you see that there's some improvement, maybe in your shoulder, in your ear, maybe you're feeling a weight lift off your body, would you put it in our chat? Would you send an email? Would you go and share a testimony with someone around you? Would you email it in to us here at River Life? All the links are on our website or on our social media spaces. Would you test it out? I'm just going to take one more moment now. I know this is going a little bit long, but I believe Jesus wants to break into hearts and lives today. You know, there was one time in the Gospels where Jesus actually prayed twice for someone. A man was blind and He prayed for him once and he started to see light and movement, and He prayed a second time and the man's eyes were opened. And so I just want to take a moment. I don't want to pray for you one more time. Maybe you're not sure what God's doing. Maybe you're not even confident. You don't have maybe the faith to see Him do what you need Him to do. But today I believe that as we come together as His scattered church, He wants to do something powerful. So I'm going to pray one more time. And so would you agree with me as we pray again? Jesus, I thank You, and I thank You in faith that You've been working in bodies, that You've been working in injuries and illnesses and brokenness. And I thank You that I know some people have even received and felt Your healing presence. I ask, God, that You continue to do it. God, I thank you that you're not a God who starts something and leaves it half done, but you work to completion, that you bring all things together for your glory and for our good. So God, would you just step in right now? Would you continue to heal? For those who've had no change and no breakthrough, God, would you do it again? In Jesus' name, I just tell those parts of your bodies to be healed and to be restored. For those of us who have experienced some degree of healing, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you're working. And we ask you continue, that you do it again, that you continue to go. We ask for a full restoration of whatever's broken, God. Full clear thinking, full clear hearts, Lord. Bodies fully restored. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and would you bring freedom? God, I thank you that the work's not done when this service finishes, but you're working in every moment and every opportunity. God, I thank you that you'll take any opportunity to step into our lives. So God, as we continue to contend for healing and breakthrough in lives, God, would you give us confidence and faith to keep asking, to keep knowing that you're a good God. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to stir in hearts and lives throughout this day and throughout this week ahead. I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.